Yeah, you said with smallpox you run the high fever for longer than with the measles.
But with the when you treat the disease, they don't respond as well as before the antibiotics. But you treat it with antibiotics now, and they do respond.
I see. And before the did you see this in Richmond before you had the antibiotics?
No, I didn't see that there, but I just know that that's expected.
But
resistance to antibiotics develop resistance to the organism.
Yeah.
And that's one of the frightful things we have about them.
Surely. Well, the man with smallpox got better, but he didn't have antibiotics, or he did?
Oh, he did. He had
didn't them. Have antibiotics.
Okay. Right now, I really don't remember which one. It could have been penicillin.
Yeah.
Because that worked well. Then streptomycin, we used chloramycin, we used for typhoid. Typhoid was, has almost disappeared. Typhoid was terrible.
Sounds like you really appreciate the advances in disease control.
Oh, yes. Let's see.
Effective healthcare.
My twin took prevention and got her MA in health prevention as well as finishing in medicine. Mm-hmm. And she was always bringing up something real good that had happened with the prevention. She said, and I see it all now in the papers and everywhere, why can't we prevent disease? And they're going from the prevention side, and of course, prevention is right.
Yes.
We just need to do some more.
Well, in line with that, Dr. Moline, you mentioned that you taught in the schools. You taught some, did some teaching of health education in
well,
the public schools.
Not to medical students and to the nurses in Richmond. I taught a regular course of school of disease and prevention and care. Mm-hmm. And in the medical school here, I taught in the disabled area of children and what we do for disabled problems.
I see.
And you see, that's...
And that gained you some respect, and they founded the developmental evaluation
right.
place. Of course, that was before.
Yeah.
You were already heading that up when you came mm-hmm. to teach then at the medical school. But I was thinking more in terms of your teaching in the public schools.
Oh, I taught biology and general science.
Now, that was before you got into medical school.
That's before I went to medical school.
But when you were in Greenville, didn't you teach in the public schools special classes?
Oh, we taught subjects.
There you go.
We did that regularly. It was a 6 or 8 weeks course. Mm-hmm. And I talked to the girls, and Dr. Trevathan or Dr. Best talked to the boys. Mm-hmm. But that just had to be said. I don't know how much it sank in, but we talked.
6 to 8 week courses?
Mm-hmm.
And was this integrated into the regular school day?
Oh, yes, in the regular school day. It was in the health education course mm-hmm. that they took. The sexuality was part of it.
What grades of students were you working with?
We started, I did it in the 5th, 6th, and 7th grades, but we thought we were doing right in the 7th, and we decided that was too late, and we started going back. Yeah, we did it. Starting in the 5th several years. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which years.
Which schools did you go to?
Oh, I went to Wall Coates, and I went to the middle school. Here. And Dr. Best went to Grimesman and Epps. They were still separated then. We didn't put them together, but we had them ask questions between in order to see how much it sunk in. And they learned the words. His crowd learned the words better than mine did, because I didn't use them as much. But it would have been better if I had.
You were trying to be discreet, but get the information across.
That's right.
That's a very tricky thing to do.
And that's not easy. But we did allow time for questions, always. And we got some news.
You were surprised, huh?
Yes, indeed. But apparently, in middle school, I went back again to the middle school several times when I was in developmental clinic, and they were more sexually active. I could tell by the way. way they taught, you know, what can I do to keep from getting pregnant, or what can I do, and that hadn't been an idea at all.
What did you tell them?
I told them there were definite things they could do, and they should talk to their doctor, and that would be the best. But that there were such things as protection, and the boy and the girl could get these. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go into details any more than that.
Was your aim just to make them aware of where babies come from? When you taught sexuality, how did you?
Oh, we were first, the way I started out always was boys and girls your age, and some fifth graders are different. You have hair in the pubic region, you have changes in the shape of your face, and show them that, and show the changes in the body, and the most important thing is this is produced by hormones in your body, and your hormones are, and then into them and what they make people, how they make people feel. You see, they don't know that they can't, why they feel like they do. And we talk about that quite a bit.
You were preparing them,
yes,
for what was going to come.
Yes, what we were trying to do, let's put it that way.
Did you counsel them as to how they should deal with the feelings?
Yes, in that I would tell them, for instance, you handle it the way that you will make you feel better. But some people would run around the block, and some would take a hot bath, and some would do other things. Mm-hmm. But that it's a matter of you find what helps you the most, because mm-hmm. everybody is so different. And always we use the uniqueness of a person.
Sure. Well, how did they come to connect that with the sexuality issues, though?
Oh, we went right into what the penis and the vagina were, and how they were used, and that they caused certain thrills in either and both, and certain experiences that I hope they wouldn't know for a long time, but that they are there. And that is what people have this longing for. Mm-hmm. And it's great, but you go slowly, discover your way.
Did you go so far as to counsel them to abstain from sexual activity until they were adults? Or?
Oh, one of them asked me if she should, and I said it's a real good idea, because it will mean that you will be ready for that man. But there are other things that will affect your behavior, and you can't decide on that yet. But I believe in abstinence, but I don't think you can tell them that they should be abstinent. They think you can.
The kids, who thinks they can? Who thinks they can?
The boys and girls think that some of them, I know one said that she was certainly going to be abstinent, but she was unusual. They didn't say that. They really didn't. They don't intend to, I don't think.
And this was sort of across the board.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was with the girls. Mm-hmm. The boys are even more eager to start something right now. Yeah.
I wonder if any of that attitude has changed with the new heightened awareness of sexually transmitted diseases.
Well, to me, the fact that AIDS is there would make them stop, but that doesn't. They're not afraid of that. They don't think they're going to get it.
That's interesting. What was it that motivated you to teach sexuality in the public schools?
Same reason you would. See if you could help them pick it up right, you know.
And were you concerned about trying to, avoid adolescent pregnancies or any
well,
of that?
Well, that would be in it. That would be one of the bad things that would happen if they did not use protection, but it was better even to be abstinent than to use protection.
Mm-hmm. So you did carry it to its consequences, that
yes,
the end of the sex is reproduction. And
right. Yeah. And in all the way. In fact,
That's what we were trying to do, let them know how dangerous certain behaviors would be.
As far as communicable diseases, but also with regard to reproduction.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we went right into that. And usually there's a one in the room pregnant.
How did you deal with that? I guess, was that person an expert then?
They don't usually know what they were doing.
Is that right?
I don't think they do. I really don't, but I think it's very sad that there's so many.
Mm-hmm. It is sad, but I'm sure you made a difference.
I hope so.
Talking to them and telling them about things that they probably didn't have anybody else to talk to about it.
Well, one or two have called me and asked questions, and that was nice.
Sure.
And then I had a little group of girls that wanted to know the truth, what really happened. Mm-hmm. Remember when I went around to Ms. Hendricks?
Mm-hmm.
And they were truthful, nice girls. And they were just trying to find out.
Well, I'm sure that helped him a great deal. Well, Dr. Fred and Dr. Moline, you've carried out long and productive careers in medicine, and now you're still very active in the community, I think, volunteering and helping. I know your church is very important to you.
Yeah, we go down every Thursday afternoon to stuff envelopes.
Stuff envelopes, huh?
Well, what we do is they have...
It's just busy work, but we just want to help them.
Sure, I understand. Throughout your lives, though, you've been involved in different volunteer organizations.
Yeah, we've done.
Causes. Do you want to get that microphone off? Can you tell me just...
Well, I think our opportunity right now in Cypress Glen, there's plenty of opportunity to help. Mm-hmm. if we will just do it.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes it's, as time goes by, it gets a little bit more difficult to do those things. But we do have opportunity every day to help somebody.
To lend a helping hand.
That's right.
Well, that's wonderful.
And
we hope that will get more and more something we can do, you know, as we get to know the people better.
And as you get used to being here.
Sure.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I do the tutoring at the school, and I'm not going but to one student now because others have dropped out, but that's just fine. He's a delightful little boy.
What kind of tutoring do you do?
He's not learned to read, except he learned in 2 months, as soon as we brought the bus, and he's doing real well.
Oh, how wonderful.
He's reading now.
You've taught a boy to read.
He was a boy that could, you know, and some couldn't.
How old is he?
He's 7. He's done the first grade once,
mm-hmm.
but he's now in the second, and he's doing well.
Well, you've given him a new life. Thank you both so much.
Well, you're most welcome. We thank you.
It's been a privilege to talk with you.
You're very kind. We enjoyed this relationship very much.
Thanks.